It must be clear that violence and crime and looting and burning cannot and will not be condoned and must be stopped. It must be equally clear that the conditions that breed crime and violence have to be sought out and rooted out.
When Washington's National Press Club invites a guest speaker to its weekly luncheon, he is questioned by some of the nation's top reporters. But when the guest is a presidential candidate, he can expect unusually rigorous questions. His answers frequently make news.
You know, I was wondering if this trip was really necessary.
Reporters were quick to probe Humphrey's feelings about an open convention and his method of choosing a running mate.
That whoever is to be elected or nominated for that office or selected must be a man that you feel has those qualities, as best as you can discover them, that would suit him for the highest office of this land. Very difficult for me to say this because it sounds rather immodest. But when President Johnson at Atlantic City some 4 years ago, this August, suggested to that convention that Hubert Humphrey would be his choice for vice president, he said he didn't select me because of geography or religion or race or age. He selected me because he thought that I had the qualities, as best as he could ascertain them, that would best serve this republic in case of need. I think that's the high purpose. I think that's the standard that you ought to have. Our nation is much more closely tied together than before. The day of selecting a man because he's from one section of the country or another, or of one race or religion or another, is less significant than it was years past. Now, you ask the question, do I believe in an open convention? Of course I believe in an open convention. My answer to you is no commitments on the VP. No conversations with any man about this office. Whoever is to receive it should be capable of handling it and handling even in a higher office. And an open convention, absolutely. Open testimony, open participation. Nominate whoever you want to. If I'm privileged to be nominated for the office of president, and if I am nominated, I will make my suggestions. But even in my own home, I have never been able to exercise dictatorial rule.
Next, Vietnam. Speculation was strong that Humphrey the candidate would repudiate Humphrey the vice president on some major policies of war and peace.
I have been in government long enough, assuming some of its responsibilities, to know the importance of national security, to understand the importance of our national interests, to appreciate the interdependence of the areas of this world, and to also understand the danger of aggression unleashed and unchecked. But my fellow Americans, we are now at that stage where there is reason for hope. And just as surely as I stand before this audience, that negotiation which is now underway offers the best hope that we've had for the fulfillment of what has been the sole objective of this country, to find a way to preserve the peace peacefully, to find a negotiated political settlement, and to do so honorably, in order to protect the right of people to design their own lives, to create their own institutions of government and social structure, and to be able to live at peace with their neighbors. This is what I stand for. I have devoted a good deal of my life to the cause of the works of peace. I have never changed in that thought. But I do not think that peace comes to the timid or the weak, or to the cowardly. I advocated today councils of civil peace to prevent violence in our cities, I suggest that the strengthening of the United Nations, its peacekeeping operations, the building of regional institutions of economic and political and social development must be the top agenda of the American people. I suggest the highest purpose of this country must be to reduce the tensions that exist in this world. And we can put ourselves to it. This is 1968, not 1948. And we have to understand the gap of the 20 years. And anybody that's worth being trusted in this republic must be thinking ahead at least 10 to 20 years, because whatever he says or the decisions that he makes now will affect the lives of children yet unborn and youngsters now who will have to bear the burdens of adult responsibility later on.
Another questioner pressed Humphrey to confirm or deny the statements on where he stood on Vietnam.
I've been reading that Hubert Humphrey ought to be his own man. That's exactly what I am. It boils down to what Humphrey thinks. I'll let the others think for themselves, write for themselves, speak for themselves. I've never known to be inarticulate, and on occasionally I have a good idea. I've noticed that most presidents are just that. They really don't take orders from vice presidents or from anybody else. And if I'm permitted to have the opportunity to lead this country, there will be my ideas as I glean them also from others, as I tap the wisdom of the people of this country and the experience of this country. One does not repudiate his family in order to establish his own identity. My son is in this audience. I don't ask him to live his father's life. I ask him to live his life. The President of the United States has not asked me to live his administration when I am privileged to have the Humphrey administration. And there will be, if I have anything to say about it, with the help of the American people, a Humphrey administration with its own program, its own nuances, its own sense of direction, its own perspective, its own objectives. America is a continuity of the quest for an ever-expanding freedom. I intend to add to that expanding freedom in my own way. Hubert Humphrey, as vice president, is a member of a team. Hubert Humphrey as president is captain of a team. There's a lot of difference.
As one of those in office, how would Humphrey offer the voters a vision of change, of new direction?
I believe in change, and I've talked to you about it today. And any man that's worthy of the consideration of the American people knows that there's a change all the time in this country. And what we want to do is not just change, but change for the good. What you need is a person that knows how to govern. What you need is someone that understands the ferment of change, the forces of change, and does not let those forces run wild, but directs them, tries to bring them into some form of direction and consensus so that the change is for social progress and not for anarchy. Change not of destruction, but change of construction. I do not think that you demonstrate qualities of political leadership by tearing down that which you have around you. I think you demonstrate qualities of political leadership by building that which is needed. I intend to be that kind of a builder.
Couple more, Mr. Vice President. On the crisis in the cities, could Humphrey's proposed Marshall Plan for the ghetto be carried out under Congress's $6 billion spending cut?
The beginnings of it can. Let me just say a word about that $6 billion spending cut. I have not been very happy about it. I think everybody knows it. We've had some choices that we were forced to make as to whether we were going to have any sense of fiscal responsibility in this country. And that's a choice that people need to make. You don't prove yourself to be much of a liberal or even much of a sensible citizen to ignore the realities of fiscal and monetary policy. And we've been faced with a staggering deficit and an inadequacy of public revenue, and the very people that ought to be for the surtax were the ones that wanted to keep these programs going that helped the needy and provide for a better sense of equity and social justice in this country. The Marshall Plan was a success primarily in Europe because it was worked out in concert with the recipient and the donor, with industry and labor and the people in the area that needed the help. Now, if we could make that work in Europe, we can make it work in America. What Hubert Humphrey is saying to you today as vice president, and what I will say to you if I'm permitted to be your president, is that same courage that was required to wage war in Vietnam must be required and must be applied to wage war on the vestiges of deprivation and poverty in this country. And I think the American people would like to win a war in their own country. I think they'd like to be able to do something for their own people. And I think I can rally them to get them to do something for their own people. I helped rebuild one city, not as a theoretician, but as a practicing mayor with little authority and not much power. Give me the chance to help rebuild this America as the President of the United States, and I think we'll get the job done with your help.
Vice President Humphrey at the National Press Club, June 20th, 1968.